That's why I see him in my shirt. Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him in my
shirt. Shot, no shot. Brought to you by the awesome people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download their updated app and use this promo code. Take that for two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Play along, have same-game parlays, and have fun with us each and every day. Again, the promo code is Take That. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Good.
We're doing very well.
I am in an excellent mood on this Monday morning. Beautiful weather outside. My team is in the Eastern Conference Finals again.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see, this is the craziest stat. The Boston Celtics are going to their 37th Eastern Conference Finals. They have now played in exactly half the Eastern Conference Finals ever.
Well, yeah, the league is based on the Lakers and the Celtics. It starts there, correct? That the whole league is based on the success of the Celtics and Lakers.
What
and
about everything the Knicks, in between? If you go want to go way back? The Knicks were always a big, big thing.
What? 1973?
Well, are you serious? You're going back 40 years to the Lakers and Celtics.
The league is built on those two teams. It's not built on the Knicks.
I think you could argue that the Bulls dynasty holds more recent legacy weight than the Celtics have the past 30 years.
That's incorrect.
I mean, I know that it's like the bigger historical team, but the Bulls had this run of six in the 90s. That's like the defining decade, really, for me, of like coming up in basketball. It was Jordan.
Well, you're a young man. But when you're old like me and Cap, we know that from the beginning, the Lakers and the Celtics are the pillars of the NBA, those two teams.
Correct.
That's it. I mean, the Bulls championship, their dynasty, the Pistons in there, the little Rockets, and that's great. But ultimately, it's about those two teams. The league is built on the East Coast and the West Coast, those two teams. And so for your Celtics, I mean, congratulations. I'm not surprised, actually, because somehow, some way, Brad Stevens can do it, but Danny Ainge could not. So this is good for them. Ainge had his struggles in the front office.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Is he still like a consultant? Is he like the John Paxson of the Celtics now?
No,
he was with Utah.
With the Jazz.
That's
front
right.
office.
He left.
He and Dwayne Wade.
Correct.
He had to go out west to Utah and be with his people.
I knew Dwayne Wade was with the Jazz, and I'm like, that's such a weird fit. So weird.
Think about the athletes that should have had the opportunity to have ownership and could not in the 90s. You and I have covered this. Walter Payton, Jordan after he retired, people thought he should be with the Bulls organization. But now, it's LeBron and KD, these guys, they're just sticking their beak in ownership, getting their piece of the pie.
That's it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I want to be up there.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
That's it.
All right, Shay, what do you have?
All right, gentlemen, let's get to shot or no shot. I want to stick with the NBA to start because we're talking about it already. And Cap may have just altered the context of this question with his little nugget about Lonzo Ball's knee. Mm. Zach LaVine's impending free agency is the rumor mill going. And adding to it is the confirmation of a report that he will undergo an arthroscopic surgery on his left knee in the coming weeks. His name has now been brought up in trade rumors for aging stars such as Anthony Davis or malcontents like Kyrie Irving, who may be out of favor in Brooklyn. My question is this, shot or no shot, not necessarily for one of those two players, but signing and trading Zach LaVine is the best path forward for the Bulls.
That's a no shot because I don't know the other side of that deal.
Well, then I could answer just like you, but I'll say shot, but I got to know what I'm getting back. You tell me Boston calls and says, we want Zach, we'll give you Jason Tatum. Yeah, I'll carry him there. Hoodie and I will walk from here to Boston and drop him off.
Right.
So I don't know what that looks like. And I got to know what that surgery shows. Do they go in there with the scope and go, oh, God, we didn't see this on the MRI. Oh, God, he's got an arthritic knee. You got big troubles here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. They may come in and go, yeah, we got a little chip out. You're good. Great, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem that the Bulls are facing is until they have clarity on the Lonzo Ball question, Are they going to use the 18th pick to draft a point guard? Are they going to take their remaining cap space that they have with the mid-level exception and go get a veteran point guard like Phoenix did 2 years ago when they signed Chris Paul?
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten them, you know, a lot of success but no championship. They have to have a point guard. And if Lonzo Ball is not healthy, that it begins right there.
It's urgent, yeah.
You must have a floor leader or you are not going anywhere.
Well, until I know the other side of that deal, Shay, then that's a no shot. Like, no, it's sign and trade, and then what do the Bulls get in return? See, without Zach LaVine, and if you're just getting some young player or you're getting some draft picks, then the Bulls are the Knicks. That's not good enough.
Let me adjust the question, and I'll add two pieces. I saw this. This is just total speculation. I saw this in an article this morning. I thought initially it sounded ridiculous, yeah. But let me offer this to you. You can get back from Zach LaVine, Tobias Harris, and Tyrese Maxey.
That's a no shot. Where am I going with that? I got a 32-year-old DeMar DeRozan, and I don't even know if you're going to get the same production next year as you had this year. You got Vucevic, and then what? I don't know if Lonzo Ball's healthy. No. I'm not trying to go backwards. I'm trying to move forward. So that's a no shot.
I can't answer that off the top of my head because I haven't studied Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey enough.
Hold on a second. You don't need to study Tobias Harris. You don't need to study him.
Think Tobias Harris you're like taking on as a casualty. The real find there is Tyrese Maxey.
It's a nice little player. Sure. He was the third best player, I think, at times on the floor for Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's 29 years, almost 30 years of age. He played 73 games, so he stayed healthy. He gave you 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 3.5 assists.
You don't need to study Tobias Harris, though. That's just a nice glue. He's a good glue guy. You're a third or fourth option. It's good to have him on the team, but you're trying to get past Milwaukee, Boston, and Miami. You can't do it with that.
Tyrese Maxey gave you 17.5, 3.4. Ability to shoot the basketball.
He's a nice player.
He's a nice player.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm getting two players. Are either one of them as good as Zach? No.
You're getting probably the same production. I need to get better than the Heat, Boston, and Milwaukee.
Like Tyrese Maxey this year, he improved his three-point shooting. This year, he doesn't take a ton. He takes 4 shots a game from three. He shot 42.7%. A year ago, he shot 30%.
It just pieces. The league is built. The league is built on
star power.
Superstar power.
Not getting a star back.
Superstar
there.
Power. Difference making so, power.
No, I probably would not do that.
Shay.
All right, let's get to the Bears. The first edition of NBC Sports NFL Power Rankings have been released ahead of OTAs.
I love a good power ranking.
Ah,
yes.
The Chicago Bears checked in at 26th overall, one place ahead of division rival Detroit. The article did say at 26, the Bears, there are many unknowns surrounding the 2022 Bears, but the one thing I'm pretty confident in, Justin Fields is a franchise QB. That's the most critical piece to any rebuild. So shot or no shot, if Justin Fields goes out this year and proves he is a franchise quarterback, the Bears are better than 26th in the NFL.
Oh, that's a shot. Yeah, better than 26th, yes. I'm very skittish on the franchise quarterback label until you see him for a full complement of games.
Agreed.
I know we live in a black and white world, Cap, where it's like he's the best or the worst. But I think there has to be a keen eye on evaluation for an entire season or two before he start talking about franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie. I would say you said no. How did you answer the question? Is it?
It'd be a shot if he's better than that. Yeah,
it's a shot. Now, did you see Sporting News just came out with their preseason power rankings? Oh. They were 26 on ESPN. Where do you think Sporting News has them?
You got the magazine? Show me.
Yeah, Dave Kindred.
Wait, I was going to say, the Sporting News. Right. Show me the old magazine. You got it there?
No.
88? What year was it? What?
86.
Pull it out. Let me see.
Take the newsprint off your hands after reading it.
Sporting News power rankings. Where would you guys guess they had the Chicago Bear?
21st.
24th?
JR?
30.
32. Dead last.
Wow.
Not that bad.
That's not correct. No. The Texans are way worse.
No, they're not that bad. And you'll see it when the Bears beat the Texans, 31st. Take that.
Okay, 31.
They're not that bad. When you saw that, you had to say, well, that's not true, right?
They're not
the worst team in the NFL. Don't do that. Don't do that.
They're not good.
They're not the worst team in the NFL.
Okay,
the
hold
Bears?
On. Hold on a second. Hoodie, if you were going to separate teams into tiers, right? You know how they do that? You do that with fantasy,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love the tiers.
You group the tiers together.
We're in the bottom tier.
They're in the bottom tier.
But not last place. We're not the worst team in the NFL.
I don't even think they're in the bottom tier. I think they're in the tier above the bottom, and the bottom tier is Houston.
And then who else?
Jacksonville.
I don't think Jacksonville's down there anymore.
Jacksonville, actually, I think is going to be a vastly improved team. Washington thinks they're going to win this year.
When Cap says that Jacksonville is a vastly improved team, he has the over in the win total. That's all that means.
Look at that smile you just had.
Because there's no real analysis there. It's just I have them over. They're going to be vastly improved. I hope I can cash the ticket. Take that. That's all that is.
So what?
There's no real analysis there.
6 wins? What are you looking at? 6.5 is the bottom tier? Is that what you say would be?
Well, we took the...
I would say 5 and less.
I said 7 when we went over the schedule on Thursday.
Yes.
And so that would be over the 6.5 that we've seen everywhere else. Okay, so, yes, are they the bottom tier? Yes. Doesn't mean that they're the worst team in the NFL. I know that you have a ticket that says under for the Bears.
Correct.
I understand that.
Under 7.
I understand. I think you might be right on that. You may be right, but the worst team, no shot.
Not far.
Shay.
All right, let's get to Drew Brees because he is out at NBC, and he says he may play football again. This is his tweet. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. My question narrows this down very simply. Shot or no shot, Drew Brees will return to the NFL.
That's a shot. Absolute shot. You don't throw that out there, that little nugget, like a little chum in the water, and not expect the sharks to come get it. Yes, he's absolutely thinking about it. Why? I don't know, but that's his life, not mine.
You know why? You know why.
Money?
Money, of course. And anytime you have a question about anything, look at the money first. Follow the money.
I don't think it's the money. The money will come with it. I think... He really? Truly is bored to death doing commercials and being on TV. That's not him.
Well, look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady took like 3 days off of football, and then he's like, I'm going right back to football, and I'm signing an extension with Fox because I can't stand being at home.
I love Fox having FU money to the point where you don't know if Tom Brady is Joe Montana or Tony Romo on the mic. You have no idea. Usually when you're that great, you're not very good behind the mic.
37.5 a year for 10 years.
Is that not true? When you're great, you're usually not very good behind the mic.
Right.
Here's looking at you, Isaiah Thomas.
He was horrible.
Here's looking at you, Magic Johnson. Here's looking at you, Joe Montana. Like, usually that doesn't work in that spot.
312-332-3776. Ever since dubbing the Cubs a civic embarrassment, they've taken 2 straight series from winning teams. That's next. Get those tongs ready, baby. Weber's new Genesis Gas Grill and Weber have crafted the perfect outdoor kitchen collection.
Yeah, I heard that.
They crafted it. Chicago.
We can start that number over, Cap. Let's go.
I couldn't see it.
They crafted what?
I couldn't read it. My glasses got foggy on me. I couldn't see. I'm like, oh, God.
Great day for you, Cap.
I can't see the spot.
Now tell me what you crafted. I'm from Piawatine.
The outdoor kitchen collection.
Yeah.
The biggest grilling innovation in decades. The newly designed Genesis is full of savory features for more space, precision, and time to deliver the ultimate culinary experience. If you want to take your grill game to the next level, the new Genesis can be combined with the new Weber Crafted Outdoor Kitchen Collection. See the new Weber Genesis Gas Grill and Weber Crafted Outdoor Kitchens for yourself at APT. pleasing people since 1936. Wow.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Jesse Rogers, he'll be in here co-hosting with Carm at noon today.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Afternoon show, Waddle and Sylvie at 2. And then we've got Bleck and Abdallah leading into White Sox baseball.
Taking on the Kansas City Royals.
That's right, at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. I've never seen a game in that stadium. Have you?
No, but that will change this year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You leaving today, this afternoon?
I'll leave right now, if you like.
Jesse and I can talk hockey.
Yeah, sure.
Jesse, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, it's a great stadium to watch a game. I love that stadium. I think I saw the Cubs and Royals, I don't know, 3 years ago when during Interleague. Mm-hmm. You'd love it, Cap. And then you get some barbecue beforehand, go to the game, you'll have a fun time.
Jesse, as always, brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. And, Jess, interesting weekend. We were talking earlier about the White Sox and Yankees. It had Bulls-Bucks vibes for me, in which the White Sox are at a certain level, but the Yankees are certainly at a different level. What stood out most about that series for you?
Yeah, that's a great description. It really is. I think you're right. And it kind of reminds me of last year. Like, the Sox are probably good enough to win this division. Now, they're 4-10 against the Central, so they've got to start beating up on the teams around them, and they probably will. But is there another level for them to get to be an elite team? And it does seem like that, at least right now. I will say, I think the Sox can pitch their way to a division title. They're deeper on the mound than I thought, and that's without Lance Lynn. Now, I say that after those first two games where they got rocked, but then Dallas Keuchel pitched well. I mean, Kopech was one of the stranger starts you'll ever see. He pitched a perfect game other than one inning where he walked four and threw a wild pitch. Really, really strange. But that lineup is so dangerous. It's so dangerous, and they take their walks. I'm talking about the Yankees. The White Sox do not. If there's anything that's disappointing right now about the Sox, it's exactly that. They're way too aggressive. Tony talked about it after the game. They are dead last by a mile in walks. I don't know many World Series winning teams that are that bad in terms of plate discipline. Only two guys have more than 10 walks. No one else has more than six. It's Grandel, Abreu, and then no one with more than six. Luis Robert, as great as he is, his on-base percentage is .343. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near the elite players in this league. So my takeaway is, especially after watching Cortez take them apart, they had no walks yesterday. They've got to be able to get on base a little bit more. It's amazing what Tim Anderson has done because he hits. He doesn't walk. But I don't no complaints about Tim Anderson. But the rest of the lineup has to get on base more.
I know that everybody's freaked out about the Sox. The Sox fans I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My partner has his heart right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my team. I don't dislike them. I know that offends Cubs fans. Too bad. I look at this team with a critical eye, without my heart out there, some of my money sometimes, and I look at them and feel like it's May 16th. You don't have Lynn back. Vaughn is just getting back from a thumb injury that he said it was robbing his ability to turn and swing hard at a baseball. You've had COVID issues. You've got Aloy stuff. Like, I think this is a really, really good team. If the playoffs started today, no, they're not in a good spot. They don't start for 5 months. Am I being wrong in that analysis?
I don't think so because, look, you could take the glasses half full approach and say, look, they're 16-17 while leading the world in errors, while having the least walks. Now, look, these things have to change, and that's what you're saying. There's plenty of time for them to change. Will they change? Not sure, right? We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. But that's what I'm saying. But they're good enough to make the playoffs in that division. I mean, they're as good as the Twins. Let's face it. This bad, and they're three games out. They're not going to – they were 12 over against the Central last year. They're not going to finish I don't think six under or worse against the Central. If they do, then we're all wrong. So, yes, but it's going back to what Jay Hood said. You know, are they just good enough to win this division? But then again, you know, Sylvie even texted me yesterday. Look, the Braves were crap last year at this time, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't look good even going into the playoffs. They win the World Series. So it just does come back to just getting in. And I think your point is right, Cap. They can get in even with this roster, which is a little flawed. You know, I had someone tweet at me, and we've talked about this, in all caps. You know, when you get that all caps tweet, you know, Rick Hahn forgot about the last part of the rebuild, which, of course, is, and this is more probably Reinsdorf than Hahn, pushing your chips in and signing John Lester or signing, you know, what you thought was a great player in Jason Hayward, spending big in that last moment of the rebuild. They didn't do that this offseason. They spent a little bit the previous offseason on Liam Hendricks. They extended Lance Lynn, so they did spend a little bit, you know what I mean? But they didn't go all in, and that's something I think Sox fans can complain about. I've said it. Look, top seven payroll's nice, but top three or four is even better. And that would mean a couple extra great players, another left-handed slugger. They didn't do that, so now they have to grind their way to the playoffs again.
Jesse, could you update us on some of the injuries with the White Sox, starting with Jonathan Stever?
Jonathan Stever?
No, just kidding.
I thought you were going to ask me about Lucas Giolito.
Of course I was, but no, I just wanted to throw you the old curveball into the dirt. No,
yeah.
No, but there's a number of players and pitchers in particular that are out for the Sox.
Yeah, well, let's start with Lucas Giolito. He's going to pitch this week. Not exactly sure when. And that means you're a step closer. Lance Lynn is getting that much closer. He's been out throwing. I mean, once you Johnny Cueto is going to end up here probably this week. They have five games in 4 days. How about that storyline? This veteran, great veteran, going to join the White Sox. So I actually think they're going to be okay on the mound, especially if Keiko found a little something. I mean, that was a masterful performance against mm-hmm. this team, this Yankees team, after what happened Thursday and Friday on the mound. I mean, cease 11 strikeouts, but then gets hit. Anyway, Giolito should be back from COVID this week. So I actually think they're deeper on the mound than I thought even 2 weeks ago. I kind of like the Cease Giolito, you know, Kopech situation. Now Kopech's got to mature, and you know you can't pitch five good innings. You got to have six good innings. Nestor Cortes pitched eight good innings, but so they're going to get a little bit healthier. Eloy's running. If you're asking about injuries, Lynn is throwing. So let's fast forward a month from now. Cross your fingers there isn't more injuries. Now you've got a full squad. And, you know, maybe by July, this is a first-place team, maybe even sooner than that, and we're talking about peaking in the second half, where last year they peaked in the first half. You can't have new injuries.
Let's talk about the Cubs. Justin Steele, 10 punch-outs yesterday. I called them a civic embarrassment 2 weeks ago. They went on and won two in San Diego, could have swept if Schwindel's ball gets out at the wall. They could have swept Arizona. They won two of three. Are they trending in the right direction, or it was a momentary blip?
No, I think it's more of a blip, but I don't think Jonathan's wrong. They could inch their way towards 500. That's possible. Pittsburgh's 15-19. You got to get past them first. You know, the Cubs are 13-20. Like, they're all in the same group right now. They're a scrappy team. I think I've been saying that for a couple months now. They're kind of a scrappy team. But I don't think there's anything really there other than some individual moments that you can build on. Justin Steele's a guy you want to build on. I mean, Wilson Contreras, I know you've talked about it. He's having a great season. He's hitting everything hard. He's going to the opposite field. Suzuki, it seems like he's coming out of it a little bit here and there. Like, there's individual moments, but as a team, we've talked about it, there's not enough power. They're probably not deep enough on the starting staff. I mean, they had this little run without Stroman Robertson. You know, like, there's something there to be maybe better than they've been, but I don't think it's anything more than maybe inching towards 500. But you're right. They lost 3 of 4 against the Pirates. I heard you say that before at home. Here's your chance to get a little revenge. Here's one stat for you bettors out there. The Cubs are 5-15 at night and 8-5 during the day. That reminds me of the old Cub teams, wow. You know, where they were pretty decent during the day. They're 10 under at night. They play four straight night games here. And then three against the Diamondbacks. But that could be a blip. Who knows? I just don't think they're anything special. But they're probably better than their record, you know, coming off that last homestand where they dropped five in a row. And they're probably a little bit better than even 13-20. That's the most I can say about it.
Jesse, we talk about the yin and yang when it comes to baseball. We talk about the Yankees against the White Sox. And now we're going to get the Pirates and the Cubs. From what you can tell from the Pirates' standpoint, like what is this every year? Like, I, as much as I like Hayes, which is going to be a guy for the future, probably one of the bright stars of the future, you know that when his contract's over, he might be going to a different team. So what is this Pirates outfit, man? They're just going to continue to lose, develop talent, and then trade them off or let them go someplace else? What's the point of being in business if you can't try to win at some point?
No, that's a great point. The Pirates are a team that was brought up during the lockout a lot by the Players Association, like what, basically saying what you're saying. What is this? What it is failed rebuilds. Not every rebuild works as much as the Cubs and the Astros worked, and the Sox are kind of working. You know, they haven't won a championship yet. The Pirates, you know, they traded, they made some bad trades, and it didn't work out. They traded Austin Meadows. They traded, they traded for Archer. Things didn't work out in some of their trades and draft picks, and so now you're in a perennial rebuild. That's what this is. Now, they think they have a little something going here, and they're a little bit better in the standings than anybody thought right now, but we'll see. Ke'Bryan Hayes is signed up, so we'll see if he stays past one contract. But they're trying like a second or third rebuild, so to speak. And it's a great example of not every rebuild works. So don't just point at the Cubs or point at the Astros and say, look, this is what the formula should be, because it doesn't always work that way. So that's the most I can say about it, and that's why they're in this perennial, okay, we're going to trade our veterans for young players and try this again.
Jesse, appreciate all the knowledge. Have a great day. We'll see you down here.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, guys. Take care.
All right, take that. There is Jesse Rogers, brought to you by
the fine folks at Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago.
We will take you through Warren Sapp laying out 5 rules for athletes to avoid trouble that he got from Tony Dungy. Next.
Take that.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We'll move our worst weekend to 950 because we've got full phones on these names. The great Eddie Olchek checks in with some hockey names.
Southside.
Darren Poopa.
Yeah.
Dickie Redman, former Hawk.
Ow.
Helmut Balderas. He played for the Russian team in the 80 Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Klitsam. His teammates called him Harry.
Do we got to dump that?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Give me that again. Hold on a second.
Be careful, Cap.
Grant Klitsam. Nickname Harry. Honest.
Honest to God. That's so funny.
Harry Klitsam.
They can call him anything else. Harry.
So good. Thank you, Ed.
That's the best.
For checking in. 312-332-3776. Jim's in Chicago Heights. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Jim.
There was a politician or somebody from Chicago, and Steve Dahl used to make fun of him. It was Richard Phelan, and he used to call him Dick Phelan.
That's right. Dick Phelan.
Right.
And there's is he a car dealer as well? I know there's... Jack? That's Jack Phelan.
Yes.
Jack Phelan Chevrolet. There you go. Thanks, Jim.
That's very good.
Appreciate it. Adam in Wheaton. Hey, Adam.
All right, Adam, what do you have?
Yeah, what's up there, Skittles?
What's up, Cookie?
We, the great North Carolina Tar Heel of Puff Johnson. Have your last name is one thing, but to call your, but to name your kid Puff, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. Puff Johnson.
Yeah, not even I did that.
Yeah. I would figure, like, JR, of all people, would name his kids, like, Puff and Inhale.
No.
Be perfect.
Donovan Puff Johnson. Donovan is his first name.
There you go. So Puff is the nickname.
There we go.
A little different. A little different. 312-332-3776. Ron's out in Naperville. Hey, Ron.
How you doing?
What's up?
Got a good one. You know where this is going. Last name was Trout.
Mm-hmm.
The girls were Lake, Brooke, and Rainbow, and I believe they had a boy, and his middle name was Brown.
The lady's the girl's name was not Rainbow.
Yep.
Who was this now? Who are you talking about?
Oh, just a family lived in the city years ago.
Oh, did were they weird? Well, that'd be weird neighbors.
They were neighbors down the block and friends of from the condo lived above us. Crazy.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Now, in 2022, Steve Trout, somebody would call him just, his nickname was Rainbow Trout, but today he'd just be Rainbow. No Steve.
Correct. He would just go as Rainbow.
Good old number 34 would just be Rainbow Trout.
Now, he'd be the other Trout, is what he'd be.
So it's strange, right?
Let's go to Reese out on I-94. Hey, Reese.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
First off, previous call, I need to corroborate his story. LaMangelo and Arangelo is definitely true. Those kids were in my sports camps a few years back. So those names are 100% true. So fast forward, my wife's second cousin, his name is Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very staunch 70s guy. So you familiar with the term Sockatimmy?
Yeah, Sockatimmy.
He named his son Sockanelius.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Wait a minute.
And listen, get his middle name. His middle name is Right On. So his name is Sockanelius Right On.
Wow.
He served our country in the war. He was a veteran. I think he served in the Persian Gulf. I met him. He used to write letters to us. He was stationed at the naval base up in Great Lakes. Great guy. But his name is Sockanelius Right On. And our last name was already weird with my mom's side, Squalls. Squalls. So his name is Sockanelius Right On Squalls.
That's so, you know what that is? That's jive.
That's what it is.
That's jive as hell. That's what that is.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see you, man. My friend Mitch says, how about the great Rusty Kuntz?
Ah, Rusty Kuntz. Nothing wrong with that.
He's not the Royals coach anymore. He's in the front office.
Thank goodness. Away from people, so people don't see his name Kuntz on the back of his jersey.
Correct. So you're not dealing with it tonight.
Hey, JR, how about Sockatoomie? A little laughing reference right
Sockatoomie.
There. Sockatoomie.
Let's go to John in Schaumburg. Hey, John.
Hey, I have a pretty newborn daughter. Well, she's actually 6 months now, and we were going to name her Abby. And so we decided to go with Abbey Road, like the Beatles album, because that was a song off of Abbey Road was our first dance at our wedding.
That works, right?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
That'll fly.
And by the way, the spelling of Rhodes, like the road or R-H-O-D-E-S?
Like Rhode Island. So it's not like road like the one you drive on. But so it's a little different, but we wanted to keep it a little different than the album. But actually, that's what inspired it.
You know what? That's actually pretty, John. That's
thanks,
very
John.
Pretty
appreciate it. Have a good day. I had a relative.
Would you hit the button, for God's sakes?
It's locked in.
Depress the button.
Yeah, you pushed it twice, so push it again.
Depress the button.
Was it Hitchcock or Hitchcock?
Depress the...
There you go.
Depress the
good
button.
Good job.
You're an idiot! Now you depress the button.
I had a relative.
What are you doing over there?
Her last name was Moans. M-O-A-N-S. Yeah. Moans. Barbara Moans. You know what?
Oh, my God.
You know what they called? Her nickname was Loudly.
Loudly. Of course.
Loudly.
Uh-huh.
312-332-3776.
Hey, Loudly.
Marcus, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I think I got a good one, man. I got a manager, or I had a manager when I was at AT&T. He went by his middle name, Michael, only because his first and last name was Richard Head.
Damn. You just gave us Dick Head right here on the radio. That's what is that? That was his name.
I was told not to say that.
Oh, I'm good. So that's okay. What it was, Richard Head.
Yep, Richard Head. Richard Michael Head.
Oh, my God.
What's your name? Michael. Oh, is that your birthday?
Yeah.
And you don't want to know it.
No, that's crazy.
Hey, man, have a good day. Thanks.
You too, man.
All right, appreciate you.
See, 312. This is your generation. Wasn't mine.
How do you know? That guy might be right in your wheelhouse.
No, that's your generation. Using Dick as Richard. Or Richard as Dick, I should say. That's your generation. You heard that a lot more when you were growing up, did you not?
Well, I grew up with a guy named Richard Cole.
Yeah.
His nickname, we all called him, was Dick.
Right.
Just right. Because it was funny.
But, wait a minute, not because his name, because it was funny.
But he didn't go as Dick Cole. He went as Richard Cole.
Yes.
Like, what's your name? I'm Richard Cole.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a stud.
This was a cutoff, I think, in the 80s. Right? JR, do I have that right? I don't think that this is completely Cap's generation, is it not?
Yeah, I went to a school with some Richards, but not that many Dicks.
Well, I'm glad you're around good people.
Let's go to Parrish. Hey, Parrish.
Morning, guys.
All right, Parrish, what do you have?
Well, it's my son's principal. His name was Charles Hiscock, or still is. Charles Hiscock.
What?
Charles Hiscock.
Uh-huh.
And here's a kicker. His wife's name is Pat.
Oh my God. All right, that's it. Goodbye.
Wow. Have a good day.
I think that's a rib on us.
Nicholas Bergenzer, who's a loyal listener.
Yes.
Tweets at us all the time.
Yes, big guy.
Guys, Orange Jello and Lemon Jello are legit. I knew the kids.
So it's a real thing.
Orange Jello.
Is that not in a bit, though, JR? Isn't that part of a joke?
Yeah, I always thought that was like one of those old jokes that you heard, but I guess there could be some truth to it, right?
But there, I don't know. Maybe I've just heard that in the routine.
Every
before.
Joke's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I always thought that was a routine. That's really funny.
Wow.
What else do you have, Cap?
Let's go to...
I mean, these lines are lit with... Never mind about the White Sox in the middle of the season. Never mind about that. Let's find names.
We're talking White Sox. Yeah, whatever. Goofiest name. And we're in! Every line lit. Yeah. Alex in St. Charles. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Love your show. I went to high school with this guy. His last name was Nar. His first name, Wayne. So if you put it together, it's Waynar.
Waynar, yes.
Yeah.
I got it.
Got it. Thanks. Appreciate it, Alex. 312-332-3776. All right. Who had the worst weekend? Plus, more of your calls. All coming up. Don't forget Greeny coming up at 10. And then it's the Carmen and Yurko show with Jesse in for York. He'll be with Carm at noon. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. We've got Black and Abdallah into White Sox baseball.
Yes, the Abdallah who sent us a message that says, don't forget boxer Dick Tiger. Dick Tiger.
Nice.
Yeah.
He and I will bring you that special brand of fun and frivolity Wednesday morning on Spring Trading at 7. Mm-hmm. We will be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on Cap J. Hood, ESPN 1000. By the way, I think the Cubs should see if they can draft Avery Zetterman.
Yeah, tell us why.
Kid's a beast, man. Yeah. Get him in our pipeline before some other team grabs him.
Yeah, what did he do this weekend?
Threw a perfect inning with 3 strikeouts, 2 doubles, and then left and went to his soccer game and scored 2 of the team's 4 goals.
That sounds good. Sounds like more of a White Sox prospect because you guys don't care about young players. As we turn now to Shea Norling with the worst weekend. All right, Shea, what do we have?
All right, well, I want to start quickly with the Cincinnati Reds. We already talked about them a little bit, but they join an infamous club of only 6 teams who have lost a game in which they threw a no-hitter. They walked the bases loaded and gave up a run on a fielder's choice, so the hit did not count, but the run did score, and they lost the game 1-0, despite a no-hitter.
That's the only time I can remember is just the White Sox against Andy Hawkins.
1990.
I'll never forget that. That's the only time I can remember seeing that live. It's crazy.
Crazy that you... How'd you guys do today? Our guy threw a no-hitter. Wow, great win. We lost.
So do you still take the photo with the pitcher? You know, with you holding the ball for a no-hitter?
What are you doing? We lost.
I didn't lose.
You got the shrug pose. Like, I did all I could do, right? Right. With the ball in your hand.
It was like the starter and, like, the one reliever, I believe, that combined for the no-no.
Yeah, next time, throw a perfect game.
That's a bad weekend. And it's been really, really bad on the Reds. Horrible.
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 Yeah, horrible year for Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
I got one more here.
Okay.
A man died of a heart attack as he was digging a grave to bury the woman he killed.
All right.
Talk about instant karma.
Hold on. I need more detail on this. Hold on.
A man is accused of strangling a woman he lived with before he died of a heart attack as he buried her in their yard. Deputies in Edgefield County, north of Augusta, South Carolina, were sent to the home on Saturday, May 7th, for a report of a, quote, unresponsive male lying in his yard. When they arrived, they found the body of 60-year-old Joseph Anthony McKinnon, who lived at the residence. The sheriff said that as the investigation continued, they found a second body in a freshly dug pit. So he strangled this woman, dug her grave, and then had a heart attack before he could finish it.
How Twilight Zone is that?
That's a great Twilight Zone episode.
Serling, because he was always about karma, right?
Correct.
That would have been a nice 30-minute episode.
And you would have walked away from it going, nah, I don't believe that, right? But that is an amazing, amazing comeuppance right there.
Oh my goodness.
Bad karma. All right, so we have to follow up this story. So we got to follow up the story, Shay, of Livonia, Michigan. Now, if you're a longtime part of Cap and J Hood Nation, we have told a story about kids bringing unsavory items to a classroom. Now, there's a follow-up in Livonia, Michigan about this, right? Tell us about that story.
That's exactly right. So a few weeks ago, we did this. We talked about a little girl who brought Jose Cuervo margarita mix to a high school or an elementary school in Livonia. She was in kindergarten.
And it had the booze in it.
Correct. It was like 12.5% alcohol. She was serving it to all the students. Now at this same elementary school, a fifth grader brought weed gummies and gave them out to the kids. Two of the students had to be hospitalized. One of the moms said the student just continued to say that he was feeling funny.
Yeah, and the mom said, I had to take him to the hospital. I'm devastated that this could happen.
What is going on at this school?
In the same school.
That's the amazing thing.
Cap, it's the same school this is happening. How many times will kids start bringing stuff out of their parents' refrigerator or pantry and bring it to school? This ain't show and tell. What are you doing there?
What do you got there? Just some gummies. Can I have one?
Nothing. Making cocktails for my classmates. Come on now. Can't do that. And then weed gummies. Cap.
Sounds like Officer Friendly's going to have to make some house calls in that district.
Are we still making Officer Friendlies, by the way? They still come around?
They don't still do that, do they?
I don't know. I'm sure that police still go and talk to schools. I'm sure they've probably changed the name by now because it sounds a little creepy.
This guy here with the Mr. Officer Friendly. He's still watching One Adam 12.
Yeah, exactly. One Adam 12, see you, man. I used to love that show.
I'm just making stuff for my classmates. Yes, how does that happen? See, this is why you gotta have security guards right there to look through these kids' bags.
Yeah, but if there's a bag of gummies in like a Ziploc, you're not gonna know they got weed in them unless you know the kid's last name is Strauss.
Come here, kindergartner. Give me that backpack.
Let's take a look. See what's in here.
Oh, wait a minute. It's JR's kid. Run an analysis on those.
Is this fruit snacks?
What are you bringing brownies for? It's not your birthday.
That's right. Are these fruit snacks or are these weed gummies? Let me try them.
Oh, God. Wow, these are delicious. I'm floating home tonight.
Oh, the colors.
All right, we're out of here. Back tomorrow.
Come on.
White Sox and Royals later on the station. Have a great rest of your day and a great start to your week. For Shay, for JR, for Hoodie, I'm Cap. Take that.
So long, everybody.